Lord bless those that's made an effort to come. And it's good to come, and I say it, and I know it's, I don't want it to sound a cliche, but I believe the prayer meeting is the most important meeting of any church. And that's the meeting that the devil doesn't want anybody to attend, because that's the meeting for everybody takes part. The prayer meeting. The saints begin to pray for the Lord to have his way. And thank God, God answers prayer. And tonight, I won't be long. I'll try and be short tonight and give time to prayer. And I want tonight to talk about God's prayer list. And I've been studying about prayer and reading and just seeing what, I know I've preached a lot in prayer over the years probably, but I think it's always good that we get encouraged to pray. And we want to pray this evening. There's a young man's messaged me the night before he came out. He's got psoriasis all over him. He can't sleep or anything. It's so bad. He wants us to pray for him. And also we need to pray for Davy Jones. And Mary Madison's surprised everybody. She's came around. Nigel, I messaged him the day, and he says that she's really surprised everybody. I don't think they thought she was going to come out of it, but she has. But she still needs her prayers, and God will give her. She doesn't know anybody or anything, but God can still change that. Amen. And many times, you know, when people's older, people think, well, they're old now. It's their time to go and everything. But God can heal an old person just as quick as he can heal a young person. You know, in the Bible, we read of people that the man in the Bible, God gave him 15 more years. He was an old man, but God gave him 15 more years. And Moses, 120, and his eye wasn't dim at 120 years of age. So God can do it. God's able to do it. I want us to turn to 1 Timothy. And I do appreciate brothers praying for James. Sharon said he just took a weak turn of the day, and his lips turned purple, and everything scared the life out of her. And then he came back out of it again, and she doesn't know what to think of it. But it's just the devil, you know. It's an attack of the enemy. And there's one good thing about an attack. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. Praise God. 1 Timothy, just remain seated, chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. And just let's read this evening. And I want to say at the very start, it's one thing to remember. Praying was God's idea, not yours and mine. Praying was God's idea. And some people struggle with the free will of man and the will of God, and they go into predestination, and we believe in predestination. But when it comes to praying, whatever God's told me, I'm taking it. And I don't maybe understand it all, and it'll not matter if I do or not. Whatever God says about it, I'm going to go with it. Amen. I exhort you therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life on all godliness and honesty. So this is part of the prayer list we have here tonight that God's given us. Let's just bow our heads again, and we're going to pray again. Praise God. And if you have a need tonight, when your eyes is closed, heads bowed, just leave your hand up to the Lord. Praise God. God bless, God bless. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this evening that we have a great privilege, because you said it's finished. We can come into your presence by the new and living way, through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we're completing the merits of the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. And Father, you see the hands that's raised in the service tonight, and I'm asking you to meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for the man that texted me this evening. You know his name and you know everything about him. That he's got that psoriasis all over his body. Lord, if you can cleanse a leper, you can certainly cleanse psoriasis. And I'm asking you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll cleanse him and heal him in the name of the Lord. Pray for Mary Madison again this evening, Lord, that her memory will come back. That you'll grant her mercy and grace, that you'll be fit to testify to the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. spur and raise her up in the name of the Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I thank you for what our brother's praying for, we James, I pray you'll grant it. And Lord, I do pray also for Elijah tonight as he shares his testimony. I pray you'll bless him, and I pray you'll make him a mighty blessing wherever he goes, in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless everyone in this house tonight. Bless your word to all of our hearts in the name of the Lord. And Lord, I take the Holy Ghost. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come in this room tonight and fill every fiber of our beings afresh with the Holy Ghost on fire in the name of Jesus. Inspire us to pray. And Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. There's two things about this what I want to just mention briefly. And that is, first of all, God commands us to pray. He commands us to pray. So the Lord commands us to pray. And whether we understand exactly all how prayer works or not, that's not the important bit. Or whatever the problems encountered are, that's not important. We're commanded to pray. God commands us to pray. You could look at a situation and you'll never figure out how it can be changed or turned around. But God can do it when prayer is made. Because the Bible says, whatever things you desire, pray for them and you can have them. But that's the word of God. That's not my words. That's God's word. See, you know there's something about this Bible. God didn't tell me or you to watch over it and perform it. But God says in Jeremiah, I will watch over my word and perform it, bring it to pass. I will keep an eye on it and perform it and bring it to pass. That's what God says. So whatsoever thing you desire, pray. We're commanded to pray. So our failure not to understand or, you know, or as an excuse not to pray, it's not an excuse. I don't understand how it's going to work. I don't understand how they could be healed or how they could be seen. We don't need to understand. We need to pray. Many people make excuses, but God doesn't want excuses. God just wants us to leave it to Him and pray. Amen. Whether I understand anything about prayer or not, I know this much. God assures me that prayers will make a difference. And He gives me examples all through the Bible. Elisha's one of them. Elisha was a man subject to like passions as we are. Yet when he prayed, there was a difference made. The Lord Himself taught us to pray. When Peter, you know, Brother John mentioned about Peter a lot and preached some good things about Peter. And you know, Jesus said of Peter, you know, when Peter said the wrong thing and her brother preached about the other week, Jesus says, I have prayed for you. Now you couldn't see it, or I couldn't see it, what Peter would become at that point when he spoke again to the Lord. You couldn't see it if anybody did, but God could see it. God could see the potential in him. God could see what he was going to do with him. And that's the same Peter that went up to the gates called Beautiful and said, to a lame man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That's the same Peter. Because the Lord prayed for him. And I showed you the three things the other week. Jesus prayed for himself, then he prayed for his disciples. Peter was one of them. Then he prayed for every single one the Father would give him. That's me and you. No man can come to me except my Father draweth him, and no man can know me save to him who the Son will reveal him. It's a revelation to be saved. It's a revelation to come to God. And everyone that's going to come, Jesus has already prayed for them. So we should be praying as well, because we want to be like Jesus. We don't want to be like somebody else. We want to be like the Lord. There's wonderful men that we can admire. There's lots of them, men that I could admire. I could tell you stories of so many men. I've read so many testimonies and things. But it's the Lord Jesus is where our concentration should be, on the Lord. Whatever God does, He will always be consistent in Himself. Whatever God does, He will always be consistent in Himself. will be consistent in himself. Whatever the Lord says to one man, God can do it for another man. God is no respecter of persons. He will not deny or contradict himself. And you know, William Branham said, God does not change his mind about his word because it's perfect the first time. He never writes it out twice or three times. The first time, that's it, because he is the word. John 1 verse 1. Amen. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same became flesh and dwelt amongst us. I don't know how he resolves apparent conflict between my prayers and the free will of man. And man's a free will. And people will argue that way. Oh, but you're praying for him, but he's a free will. It makes no difference. God tells me to do it, and I'll show you the Bible to prove it. And he might have a free will, and he might go down that road and get drunk and say, I'll never come to God, and I'll never do this, never do that. But God can change him. God can change that man or woman. And prayer will make the difference. But it doesn't bother God, so why should it bother us when people say that? And I'm not going to let it bother me, and you shouldn't let it bother you. No, somebody could say, he'll never come. Now, God could speak to you about somebody. I believe that. That's a unique happening. Let's say it like that. We know that can happen. But I'm talking generally. God could speak to you as somebody that's maybe the Lord is going to take them and not heal them. Then the Lord could speak to you and say they're going to be healed and it looks impossible for them to be healed. But if God doesn't speak to you, just keep on praying anyhow. Amen. Not only has God commanded us to pray, but actually, I'd rather say it, invite it. He invites us to pray. Because prayer is as much a privilege as it is a commandment. But he has also given us a prayer list to guide us in our intercession. We find a prayer list here in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 2. Exhort therefore the first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, giving the thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. Paul has given his young minister Timothy, if you like, the young pastor, instructions. Tell them how you should pray. Amen. And when people come together, he says to pray. First on the agenda, worship. Now, the second could be first to the prayer. We know that. But the God wants us to worship him and he wants us to pray. Prayer is part of worship, you know. How many knows that? It's part of it. Amen. But first in importance, first of all, chief above every other exercise, pray. Prayer is a supreme exercise of worship. Prayer. Didn't Jesus say in John's Gospel, they the true worshippers shall worship me in spirit and in truth. Now I heard a fellow preach that one night. I was actually meant to preach, but he got up and he took over. It was a way down to the moor. They were running a mission. And he got up and he preached. He took that scripture. And he made a complete pig's ear of it. That's the best way I can tell it to you. Because the man didn't have the Holy Spirit. So how could he preach and pray in the Spirit? How could you pray in the Spirit if you're not filled with the Spirit? Paul knew how to pray in the Spirit. Peter knew how to pray in the Spirit. How many believes that? Them men knew how to pray in the Spirit. And Jesus said to them, tarry in Jerusalem to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know, the old Pentecostals used to sing in the Spirit. Not right. They had sung in tongues. Never mind praying in them. Not only did they sing in tongues, but they could interpret the song back in English and still sing it. That's the power of God. And not only that, people could get set free when it was happening. It wasn't just words. The power of God. Real tongues is powerful. That's why the devil hates them and blasts them every chance he gets. But I believe in tongues. I'm a strong believer in tongues. And I have been for a long time. I know the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost in the front bedroom. When I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my neighbor said to my mother the next morning, what was going on in your house last night? She heard the noise. It wasn't quiet. You know, people talk about a birth and nothing sort of happens. I've never seen it. There's blood, there's screaming, there's tears. How many in agreement? tell you that you burn yourself, you'll feel it and you'll know it. You'll feel the flame. And then it'll scorch you if you keep it in there enough. It'll burn you, take the skin out of you. And the whole, you know, William Branham tells a tremendous story about the turtle. And he says they found an old turtle, the only young fellas, and they found the turtle and they couldn't get him to move. And he kept crawling up into the shell. And he says that they baptized him. And he says baptism didn't do one thing for him. He was just wetter. Never done a thing for him. Now we believe in baptism, but you cannot put everything on water baptism. An old preacher once said he's baptized saints and he's baptized devils. And they both come out wet. Amen. But when the Holy Ghost baptizes you, that's a different thing. Amen. Now we know if you follow true water baptism, you're candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2:38. We believe that. And Acts 39 says, "My promise is unto you and to your children, as many as the Lord our God shall call." Praise God. But he says that turtle wouldn't move, but he says he lit a fire under and he moved all right. He set him on a fire, and he set the turtle on a fire. He moved then. He moved when he put a fire on him. And I tell you, we need the fire of God. Amen. And I know it's hard preaching, there's maybe just a few, but we need the fire of God, so there are two of us. We need the power of God. There's no substitute for the power of God. And the Bible's commanding us to pray. Amen. And I'll tell you, now I'm not being nasty when I said about that fella that took the meeting, because I was at a meeting of one of his supremier pastors. One of his overseers, or whatever way you want to word it. But I remember the Holy Ghost fell on him and he began to pray in tongues. And there's a man, he got up and he run out past me. He didn't walk, he run out. And he said, "I couldn't sit with that." You know what I said? And when he was gone past, "Go on out, devil." Because the Holy Spirit wouldn't have left. How would the Holy Ghost leave when he's anointing you? But whatever leaves the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's the devil. That's the truth. You'd be surprised, there's devils in church, you know. There are 10 places of worship. But the Holy Ghost will drive the devil back. Amen. Thank God for the power of prayer. The church can do nothing greater than praying. Pray for secular leaders. That's another instruction. So where to pray? Where to pray for secular leaders? He gives us a list. There are some surprises in this prayer list, but this is God's prayer list. Who we're to pray for? First, pray. Paul tells us pray for secular leaders, for kings, and for those in authority. Pray for them. And I tell you, there's some boys in England, they need prayer, all right. We need to pray, "Lord, get a new man in, and the one that's in, out." Now, you might agree with that, but it'll not make no difference to me. That's what I believe. I'm telling you, it's a lot of things I could say. I better not get waylaid tonight. But I'm telling you, it's really something. When people weren't allowed to do a thing, and a man breaks all the laws and gets fined 50 quid. And what's 50 quid the boy that's bringing in? 200,000 or 300,000 a year. But a wee working man that's maybe on very little can hardly get a shop, and they'd fine him maybe 1,000, but they'd fine him 50 quid. We need to pray for the right people in authority. Amen. We need to pray. The Bible tells us we're to pray. Romans 13 verse 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but God. The powers that be ordained are of God." So God's ultimately in control, and we as Christians need to pray the right people in and the wrong people out. Yes, amen. Amen. Somebody says, "How do you know it's God's will or not?" Surely we've got enough discernment to know if he's wrong or right. That one over there is definitely wrong, and I don't need no word to know it. I know he is. As soon as I looked at him and knew it. That's the truth now. But God can give somebody better. And we need to be praying for the right people in authority. And praying. People that want to take over even in this country. We can pray. Pray. That God will have his way. Send the move of God. Get the right people in the right place. Peter addressing believers. believers are immersed. He was immersed. You know, threatened believers that are immersed in persecution. There's times you could be immersed in persecution. 1 Peter 2, verse 13, 15. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or supreme, as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So God puts men in position, and we need to pray for them. Pray for the right people in the right places. Pray for them. And ultimately God's in charge. It's like the prophet of God said, has God lost control? No. God has not lost control. But he's permitting another agency to work to bring about his greater plan. But God has not lost control. God's in control. Amen. And all the things that's happening, the Lord's already foretold it. Wars, rumors of wars, still the end's not yet. Pestilence, famines, earthquakes, and all them things are happening. By praying for them that get the church, helps those in authority to exercise the powers wisely and justly. So the church of God should be praying for the right people, and that'll help the church and make way for the gospel to be preached. This is what it's all about. The gospel got out. That's really what it's all about. Paul gives us the motives for such prayers, that we might lead a quiet, peaceable life with all godliness, reverence. God, you know, good rulers make good government. We know that. Which in turn makes life quiet, peaceable, which in turn creates a favorable environment for preaching the gospel. And this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. How many? All of them. That's the Bible. How do you know it's God's will? There it says it. Will you pray for that boy there? Sure, he's a drunkard. That's the boy the Lord wants. God didn't come for boys that's good. That sups from a silver spoon and doesn't think they're lost. They think they're better than everybody else. Like the wee woman I worked with, she said, that's great, Tommy, you got saved, but I never was a sinner. Now that lets you see a person like that's in a bad position. Because when somebody doesn't realize they're a sinner, that's bad. Because the Bible says all have sinned, every single one of us are sinners. By nature, sinners by birth, and we needed a Savior. Thank God for a Savior, for a sinner. I remember when our Philip got saved. You know, our Philip, he could have cursed. Before our Philip got saved, he knew how to curse. Cursing probably wasn't one of my problems. I had other problems worse than cursing. Now there's problems worse than cursing. Drinking's a problem. Smoking's a problem. Looking at the wrong things is also a problem. There's lots of problems. Drugs is a problem. Stealing, hooting, problems. All problems that God can solve. But he could have cursed, but see, when he got saved, the next day he never cursed again. And there's a man belonged to a certain holy organization. That's all I'll say. And he thought he was something. I could tell you a lot of things about him, but I'm not going to do it, especially in the pulpit. But he did things that wasn't right. And he stumbled a lot of people, but he didn't think he did. He thought he was it-like, but he wasn't it. He was nothing at all, for he was just the same level as the next man. God doesn't put one up and one down. We're all the same. But he thought he would trick Philip, you see. And he says to him, well, I heard you get saved. Now this man preached. And then he says, oh, you're not a sinner then, are you not? And Philip turned around and sharp. You know how he is sharp. And he says, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And that's what he said. And the old boy just dandled on his way. Off he went. That was enough for him. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Isn't that it? This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Grace of God. And he was a sinner too. And I don't know if he was saved or not, though he was a preacher. There's preachers, you know, that's not saved. And there's churches tonight, sad to say. And we need to pray for the people. There's good people everywhere. It's not right. And the ministers don't even preach the gospel. And there's certain opportunities as a minister where you can preach preach the gospel. The funeral's one. The wedding. There's lots of opportunities that should never be missed, even if it's short. Get it over. Doesn't need to be long. You can tell the gospel quick. But that man, that's his duty. And a man that doesn't do it will answer to God. It's a terrible thing, you know. Imagine standing before God. I was a minister for 50 years and missed all them opportunities. It wouldn't have been terrible. May the Lord help us. Amen. Look at verse 3 and 4 says of 1 Timothy 2. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, will of all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. Prayer for public ministry as well. That's what we need. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Amen. In the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we're to pray for all saints. If somebody doesn't come here, doesn't mean you don't pray for them. There still could be a saint of God that don't. That's shocking, isn't it? No, it's not. We're just a small part of it. God has people everywhere, all over the world. Amen. And we're to pray for the saints. Amen. Colossians 4, verse 3 to 4. With all praying also for us, that God would open us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in bonds, that I may make a manifest as I ought to speak. Pray for the minister. Amen. I read of a story of a man, and you know what his advert was for the Sunday meeting? Fire the minister. And the church was packed because they thought he was firing the minister. But when he got up and preached his message, he was an invited preacher to the church. The subject was fire the minister. And when he got up and preached his sermon, then they got the meaning of what he said. He meant the fire of God on him. Fire on him. Fire on the minister. And if the minister's not hot enough for you, it's your fault, partly. You say, I don't agree with that, brother. Well, if you pray for him enough, God will do something on him. Amen. Amen. You need to pray for whoever's behind the pulpit. Pray the fire of God. I want you to pray for me for the fire of God. That God will move me. I want to pray for you that God will move you. That's what we need. How many believes that here this evening? So it was just not some wee three-point sermon every week and get it across and go home. We want God to move. And whether it's 1 point or 100 points, it'll make no difference. If it's nothing, the Lord will do nothing. You can have no points, one verse, and God could do something. If it's a word from the Lord, it's not right. And we want someone from God. And Paul says, pray for us. Pray for the opportunities. The doors will open for the gospel to go. That God will equip men and send men. Oh, and we need men to go, and any of these young fellas that the Lord's moving on, we need to pray for them. I'm telling you. There's not many young fellas that's going forward. And any of these, you need to encourage them and pray for them. That God will fill them and bless them. Amen. Hallelujah. Christians should pray for their pastors, for the missionaries, for the evangelists, for the whole faithful ministry. We need to pray. They're the men on the forefront. That God would open doors of opportunity and enable them to preach Christ clearly in the power of the Holy Ghost. One verse, and then we're going to come and pray. Romans 15, verse 30 to 33. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in prayers to God for me. So Paul has asked them, look, please pray for me. That's what the man's saying. I need your prayers. And I can tell you, God used that man. You know, when you hear people saying that what Paul had wasn't that much, and we needed someone more than Paul had. Now, that's nonsense. If we could ever get close down the line of what the Apostle Paul had, I can guarantee you you're on the right track. That's what it's all about, to get back to the apostolic message that the first church had. And he had it. And my Bible says special miracles. Special miracles. Not just ordinary ones. Special ones were wrought by the hands of Paul. And you know Peter was used as well. All them men were. They were mightily used to God. Verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem be accepted of the saints. So he was praying that the saints would accept him, that people in Judea would accept his ministry God had given him. Paul had a ministry, but not everybody was going to accept it. And not someone. But that's the truth. You could say the same William Branham. William Branham said they wouldn't walk across the street to see this. What he had. They wouldn't even come over the street. That's what he said. It was rejected. You imagine tumors leaving people. Tumors and cancer leaving people. A wee girl with no eyes, God creating eyes. Miracles, unbelievable miracles, like in the times of the Bible, they wouldn't walk over the street. I tell you, people are like that. That's a big problem when they come up before God. I'm telling you, when you reject one of God, you reject God. The Bible says that. How many knows that? You give a cup of water in the name of the disciple, you know why you lose your reward. And as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my little ones, you've done it unto me. That's God's word. Look at Wigglesworth as well. A lot of people didn't want him either. He was a tongue man. I tell you, Wigglesworth talked in tongues. John G. Lake talked in tongues. All them men talked in tongues. I tell you, someone, can you show me any of the apostles in the upper room that didn't talk in tongues? The Holy Ghost came on all of them, my Bible says. I'm telling you, they spoke and the power of God was on them, and the prophesied as well. Now we know tongues are not the evidence, but it's certainly a gift of the Holy Ghost. And why would you throw out a gift? You want the gift. God doesn't take away, I'll tell. He never put them out, they're still here, and there's more along with them. Verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And I'm going to close. And just remind us as well that Brother Andrew will be here next weekend. Brother Andrew preaching. Pray for Brother Andrew as he comes. That God will use him. It's a man coming. Some people have never heard him. Pray that God will mightily use him. And that God will touch people. Amen. And sometimes when a stranger comes in, God can do things. You know, there's prejudice a bit sometimes when they see the same person. Whether it's you or me, and they know everybody knows everybody, and you know, it can be like that. But let's pray God will have his way. Amen. Let's come and pray again this evening and praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight that you've commanded us to pray. What a privilege we have as a people of God that we can come into your throne room and into your presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb of God tonight. We thank you for the imputation of the righteousness of God, that you never imputed to us our sins, but you imputed to us your righteousness. And we thank you tonight that our sins are gone and gone to stay into the sea of God's forgetfulness, no longer to be remembered against us no more. The sins of our youth are gone. We thank you that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Lord, I pray you bless every brother in this room, every sister, every boy, every girl. Bless them and do them good in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm asking you for every home that's represented in these meetings tonight. For the son, for the daughter, for the every relation, nieces and nephews, aunts and uncles. Bring them in, we pray. Save every one of them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, the power of God will come on our homes and come over our children. Bind the devil. Spoil the strong one, we pray. Bind him and spoil his goods in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Ghost be released in these meetings in a greater way. Bind every devil and demon round this hall. Sanctify this building for the work of God, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you this evening even that, Lord, you'll inspire men and women to pray in this room. For we know that God answers prayer. We bless you this evening. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Lord, we've often failed you. We've let you down, but you're a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm with thee always. even to the end. We bless you tonight that you're able to keep that which we've committed unto thee against that day, the only true wise God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless us now, everyone, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless us as we pray.